Year in and year out, the S&P 500 outperforms two-thirds of all other funds. I'll repeat that. Two-thirds of the other funds use their expertise to underperform the benchmark, the S&P 500, that your dog could have bought. So, you knew you don't know what to do? Buy the S&P 500.
So that's what we're actually going to do with this 10% that we're setting aside.
Yeah, the starting out people, the level of expertise, go there. The other thing is if you do it in an IRA, there's some other companies, American Century, there's other companies out there, you can search them on the web, that for $50 to $100 a month on an IRA will let you start. You know, some of the other companies require a couple thousand bucks to get rolling, but on an IRA they'll do it later. You know, the second level is that you've got a little bit more money. You want to maybe put a lump of change in. Again, you can do that. Go to something like the S&P 500. Now, are there mutual funds that do better? Of course. Do most? No. So, if you're still thinking you need to pick the flavor of the month, that you need to get Money Magazine and look at which one did the best for the last 30 days, you ain't there yet. Buy the simple one. Mutual funds have some great things. They're very easy to do in an AIP. They're very easy to put the money in and forget about. It's easy mode. It works. Over the long run, you'll do well. S&P 500, over any 10-year period that we grab, John, they outperform over 90% of these other funds. You can find funds that have done better the long term. You know, we can do the disclaimer, obviously. Previous historical history is not an indicator of success in the future, but blah, blah, blah. It's close enough. The inherent flaw to the mutual funds is that they don't have good exit strategies to get out when markets do big downturns. The other thing is that they're not always placed to take advantage of trends. And with that, let's be realistic, nor are 97% of investors. So they do fit their need. If you're going to be doing those, do the S&P 500. Hey, my kids have money in the S&P 500 with Vanguard. You know, the third level of expertise is that you've been doing this for a while or you want to. And so you're picking stocks and mutual funds on your own. You're going to Morningstar, Bloomberg, you're doing some research, and you're looking to pick funds that are a little better. Here's what I say. Unless we're talking about extreme amounts of money, you don't need a broker, folks. You may have needed a broker, 20 or 30 years ago, but today you don't. You can do this yourself, in most cases, without any loads or fees, online or over the phone. You worked hard for your money. Keep it working hard for you. Don't give it away to a planner unless they're going to give you something substantial. And we're talking mutual funds. They're not making any decision other than pointing at a brochure. You can do this. You know, the next level of expertise is you're very experienced. You are an investor now. You manage your own money. You may also be using a full-service broker. On the brokers, we're right back to that. Remember, John, that 5%, 15%, 80%? Hey, look, rich brokers, players can make you money. But if I'm going to be giving significant amounts of money to somebody, I need to see a couple things, and you should write these down. When John Burley gives his money to a broker, I need to see a couple things. First of all, I need to see your office sales chart. I need to see where you are. And folks, every single one of them has it. It's a printout. They get it every week. I want to see that you're a player. I want to see that there's 100 agents in your office or whatever the number is, and that you're up there in the top 5%, because if you're not, I know the odds of you being a performer are low. I'm going to make sure you're at least in the top 20%. Do not, if you've got money, we've already talked about this, if you don't have a lot of money to work with, you don't have a high income, don't use the planner, because you can't get the experienced ones that are good because you don't make enough money to give them money to make commissions for them. And if you've got money to use a planner, look, don't settle for the bottom 80%. It's the same commission for somebody who's failing at the profession and somebody who's winning big. Get with a winner. So if you've got money and you do this, I want you to work with somebody who makes a substantial income themselves. I want to see that they're a performer. The other thing I want to see from them, something that'll verify for me what they made in earnings on their investments. So I'm very happy that they make $500,000 to $2 million a year in commissions. Good for them. They earn it. I want to also see that they invest and that they're making a return that, because that's the players I want. That makes
sense.
And
would they be willing to disclose that in your
experience? Well, here's my experience. If they don't have it, they won't disclose it. If they got it, they will. Make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
When I was a planner, I had no problems whatsoever showing earning statements and tax returns. I would even show tax returns when pressed on big cases. But usually they just want to see an earning statement. I would show my earning statements.